We're speaking with the Buffalo-born playwright A.R. Gurney, whose Love Letters at the 710 Main Theater. It's a national tour, and it stars marquee names Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill through Sunday evening, May 22nd. A.R. Gurney, what should I call you?
Well, in Buffalo, I'm known, it depends, but in Buffalo, I'm known primarily as Pete Gurney, or within my family, Peter Gurney. So take your pick.
Well, myself, I prefer the name Peter.
All right. We'll do it. Well, then maybe we should make me Pete so the audience doesn't get confused.
Even better. What I want to talk about is the very first performance of this play, Love Letters, and that starred you, as I understand, at the New York Public Library. And across from you was the great Holland Taylor, that most of our listeners should know as the mom of Charlie Sheen on 2 1/2 Men. Great comic timing. Can you take us back to 1988?
I certainly can, and you're absolutely right. What happened was I was scheduled to give a talk at the New York Public Library, and the title they gave me was, I think it was called, The Wasps at Dinner. And I said, because I'd written this play, The Dining Room, also. And I said, I've talked enough about that. I've got a new play. I'd like to possibly get a friend to read it with me. And they said, oh, well, all right. And then Holland, meanwhile, had called me because I'd sent her a copy of it. And she said, this is good. She said, I'd love to do this with you. I said, are you willing to come to New York? And she said, sure. So I called them and said, I've got Holland Taylor to read it with me. And the library said, no, we really don't want to put our audience through a new play. So would you go to the original topic of Wasps at Dinner? And I said, too late. Holland is on her way. I can't just say goodbye. So Holland and I read it, and it seemed to work. What was interesting about it, we had an intermission in there, because those days you had more intermissions than you do now. There's no intermission in the production, but I hope people will see in Buffalo now. But we had an intermission there, and half the audience got up and left, and I whispered to Holland, uh-oh, we're in trouble. But we weren't, because it turned out that half the audience had to go and call other people and say they were going to stay on. They wouldn't be home when they thought they were going to be. They wanted to stay on and see how the play ended. So they called their nannies or their husbands or whoever was watching their children and came back, and we finished the play. So that's the way it started. We realized that we had something which worked with an audience.
Now, when you say you and Holland Taylor read the play, for most of us, that means, oh, well, it would be so much better if the actors had memorized their lines. And, you know, down the road, that'll happen. But right now, it's a reading. But in actual fact, Love Letters is a read play, correct?
That's exactly correct. And you can't stage it. A couple of times, people have tried to stage it and put scenery in, and they've sent me emails or videos of the thing. It's terrible. It's designed to move right along as a reading, and it's because it's about people reading love letters from someone they love. So the idea of keeping it as a reading is not to make it boring, but to make it more true to itself.
Now, this does sound a bit like a nightmare for the properties manager. He or she has to make sure that the letters are there, all in order?
No, not at all. Okay. They have the script in front of them. They don't have to take out actual letters. They do that in Germany a lot. No, it doesn't. It requires two actors to come in, sit at a table, and read a script, which is eminently readable. It's large type on a sort of notebook-sized script. The pages turn easily, but there's no real fussing with props at all.
Besides you and Holland Taylor at the premiere, there have been some great couples. Names that popped out at me were Brian Dennehy with Mia Farrow, Alan Alda and Candace Bergen, Angelica Houston with Stacey Keach, Diana Rigg with Martin Sheen. So this play seems to really have legs and be very attractive to, as I said, marquee stars.
I think you're right. I think, you know, we live in an age where people aren't as happy or as comfortable memorizing things. Actors have more trouble today memorizing their lines than they used to. I, myself, when I grew up in Buffalo, we had to memorize poems all the time and recite them in class. Memorizing was part of the deal. Not so much in the culture today. So, yes, we've had a wonderful series of actors over the years, but one of the reasons they've been able to do it is because they don't have to memorize all these lines. I mean, over the years, I've seen Julie Harris did. In fact, I did part of it with Julie Harris herself. I've seen Lauren Bacall do it with Richard Kiley. And Ben Gazzara and Gina Rowlands, for example, were a wonderful couple and did it quite a lot. So I've seen a number of different approaches. And I've never been able to say that's the definitive performance. I've always been able, normally been able to say that is a terrific way of doing that play.
Although I'm sure we'd all agree, had we been there in 1988 at the premiere with you and Holland Taylor, that that would have been the definitive play. I just want to get back to Holland Taylor for a second.
Sure.
She exudes something that does seem to be, an A.R. Gurney, whatever you want to call it, detachment, a little bit of a superiority, and a vulnerability. But you called her because she's also a personal friend.
Well, she'd been in my first play in New York. That's where I met her. And we got along very well. The play didn't do very well at all. In fact, it closed opening night. But that's how I had gotten to know her. And so when I wrote this play, and I originally wrote it, I didn't think it was a play at all. I sent it to The New Yorker. I thought I'd written a kind of epistolary novel. That's what I thought I'd written. And I hadn't. The New Yorker sent it right back and said, we don't publish plays. And my agent very wisely said, maybe it is a play. Let's try it as a play. So I sent it to Holland. This was before I had any kind of a deal at the library, but I sent it to Holland, and she said, it's very much a play, and I want to do it. And so she came east a little before we did it, and she did some research. I had no idea what the telephone exchanges would be when the character she's playing is at Briarcliff Junior College. She called the telephone company and got the exchange and a possible number for the telephone. It was that kind of work that she did, and I was too nervous, really, to do much rewriting, but she's kind of helped me shape it. But I also have to say that after we finished at the library and had gotten a nice applause, people said, oh, that's the most exciting play. We haven't seen anything like that in years. Nobody wanted to do it. I said, well, that's because I'm a lousy actor. So we went to Playwrights Horizons, which had done The Dining Room, and I got Charles Kimbrough to do it with Holland, because they both got along. And Andre Bishop, who was running Playwrights Horizons, and he was the artistic director, said, I just don't think it's for us. So the play just kind of lay there, and then suddenly Arvin Brown, who ran the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, read it and called me and said, I'm going to do this. And I said, that's great. And because the actors he wanted in it weren't always available, he said, I'm going to do it with a series of actors. If so-and-so can't do it that night, I'm going to put somebody else in. And so the play kind of took shape at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven. And then what happened was I was at a party and Elaine Stritch came up to me. She says, I want to do that play of yours. And I didn't want to say, you're a little too old, Miss Stritch. So I said, well, who would you do it with? And she said, I want to do it with Jason Robards. And he's already agreed to do it with me. So suddenly I realized that you could do it with older people, and then younger actors wanted to do it. So Matthew Broderick and Helen Hunt wanted to do it in Boston. So suddenly I realized this play seemed to work at a number of different places, at a number of different levels, with a number of different stars.
When it comes to Buffalo, it's going to star, as we mentioned, Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill. Have you met both of them?
Oh, yeah, and I've seen them do it.
All right.
And they're terrific. Ally McGraw is absolutely, like Holland Taylor, to the manner born. So she really knows the character well, and you can, when you see her do it, you'll see how much at home she is with the values that this character has. Ryan O'Neill, I think, is newer to the stage than she is. So he was still he was always good, but he was trying to find where the laughs were and where they weren't when I saw him. So I haven't seen him since then, but I hear he's terrific.
Reading Ally McGraw's bio, she does seem to the manner born. She's born in Westchester County. She goes to Wellesley College. This is in real life, and studies art history, languages, and literature.
No, exactly. She did all that.
You can't.
And I don't know. She went to the female version of Choate before it was combined with Choate. It was called Rosemary Hall, a boarding school, and she went to that too. So, and since my hero and also goes to a boarding school and hates it, it connects with her life too.
And the hero, whose character is Andrew Makepeace Ladd III, I love
right,
it.
Right.
The character goes to Yale and law school, and you went to Yale, so.
Well, I went to Williams College.
Oh,
first.
I thought you. Okay, first.
I went to Yale School of Drama when I got out of the Navy. But his career somewhat reflects mine. He goes to college. He goes to boarding school, which I did. I went to a school called St. Paul's School.
After Nichols School.
In the middle of Nichols School.
And really?
I went after eighth grade at Nichols. I went to the boarding school. Why did I go? Because Nichols was a great school. It was during the war, so I had no conception of where they were sending me. So I said, my grades were very good at Nichols. I was doing very well. So I said, why are you sending me away? Because they just put me on a train and told me to change at the South Station in Boston and get on the North Station. I wasn't very old. But they trusted me to do that, and I did. But why were you doing it, I said. And they said, well, you'd really need a little buffing up. That was my mother's. We're sending you to a great school, which it was, and you just need a little polishing. And it was the school they sent me to. It turned out to be a terrific school. I'm delighted they sent me there, and it's still going strong, and three of my grandchildren went there themselves.
The names Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill will resonate with a number of theatergoers because they starred in the movie Love Story, based on a short novel by Eric Segal.
Yeah.
So we've got Ally McGraw, Ryan O'Neill, who we know from Love Story, and now the marquee says Love Letters. do we worry about any confusion here on the part of the audience?
Well, let me say this. There hasn't been so far. I think the audience, in one sense, comes to see a sequel to Love Story. I think that may go on in their mind, though I don't know. No one said, well, Gurney, you're capitalizing on the actors and their connection with a very popular novel and movie. First place, it wasn't my idea. It was Nell Nugent's idea, who's the overall producer of this touring company. But it doesn't seem to have bothered people at all. But we do see the actors bringing to their performance elements of the parts that they played in Love Story.
Pete Gurney, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Well, it was good to talk to you and good to hear a Buffalo accent again. And I hope I can get up to see the play. I'm not sure I'll be able to, but I wish I could.
Accent? we have no accent here in Buffalo.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.